Entrepreneurs, small business owners, professionals who seek excellence, bringing the business classroom to you. It's the Business Builder Show. Here's Marty Wolf.
We still got a long way to go. Yes, we all got a long way to go.
Congratulations and thank you for joining us. The show for entrepreneurs, small business owners, and professionals who seek excellence is ready to get going. The Gallup survey tells us only 13% of employees worldwide are engaged in work. That leaves a lot of employees who are not engaged and who may be actively disengaged. If we want to have a productive workplace, these numbers need to be looked at, I think. So welcome to the Business Builder Show. I'm Marty Wolf, and along with my sidekick, Carrie Carney, we are here every week to offer you tips to help you build your business and your career. We talk about sales and marketing, finance, innovation, personal development, and whatever else we believe will bring value to you. Hello, Mr. Carney.
Hello, Marty.
And our producer, Mr. Tom Jenkins, is also with us today. Hi, Tom.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Today, we're going to talk about how to connect better with our employees. Our special guest, Mr. Rich Armstrong, is going to talk to us about something called the Great Game of Business. And Carrie and Tom, I think these lessons, I know these lessons can help us make a significant difference in our company. So I'm excited about Rich joining us today. And we're going to talk about some proof on how effective the concepts that Rich talks about how effective they really are. So we'll review some examples of successes. So before we get to Rich, Carrie, let's talk about an article or a piece from a blog called the SmallBusinessesDoItBetter.com, and it's a blog about how to make employee engagement a little more engaging. And Carrie, we feel comfortable in this space of talking about this. Has kind of been our life the last few, actually in my case, decades of talking to companies about building a high-performance workplace. This is really one of our favorite topics.
Absolutely, absolutely, because you can, when it's going right, you can see it, feel it, and get feedback that it's actually going on.
Yeah, I mean, all companies we talk to certainly want a high-performance workplace, and a big part of that is your employees being engaged with what they're doing. And that does fuel, it does fuel company growth and profitability. So the big question is that all business owners ask is, well, okay, I believe it. How do you do it? How do you effectively engage your employees? Now, we're talking about information from this blog from, again, SmallBusinessesDoItBetter.com. Nice website for our audience to check into. So they have some thoughts. First one they says is give new kinds of rewards and recognition. Now, if you're a company that's been around for a long time and you did something that may have worked in terms of rewards and recognition 40 years ago, that may not completely apply today. Would you agree, Carrie?
It will definitely not work.
Okay. There's no black and white.
There's a double or triple negative there, but I'm so sure that utilizing the old carrot and stick reward methods
is
very, very outdated.
Yes.
And sometimes can really backfire.
That's a great point. Yeah, the fact is there's Gen Yers, there's Gen Xers, there's baby boomers, there's a mix of people. So you need to make sure that your rewards and recognitions really connect to people personally and professionally. In other words, understanding, you know, what their goals and objectives are, your employees, the people who you work with. For instance, a lot of baby boomers would love to get that that $1,000 gift card, as an example. I would suppose a lot of people would. But on the other hand, that may not engage everybody. A Gen Y or Gen Xer may, in fact, say, you know what, how about if I go to this professional conference? They like that kind of stuff. Well, I like that kind of stuff. It's, you know, forget about the age thing. I shouldn't keep pointing that out. But, you know, so just think about it differently. What are your individual employees? Understand them. Connect with them. Know what they're all about.
That's the key there. Know what they are all about.
Yeah.
And that takes work from an owner's perspective, and they have to be personally engaged, and they have to really want to know what their employer or their employees are all about.
Yep. Another thought process is build a team and reward them as a team. You know, we spend a lot of time in the sales world, and I think this point is very, very important for employee slash sales department engagement. Connect with people as a team. Get people to work together and reward them as a team. Now, I'm not against individual performance or rewarding that, but I think the fact if you can build a stronger team in terms of total employee engagement, I love that idea. So think about that. Another way.
And that's going to build on a more collaborative effort. If
yep.
someone is really a shining star and they're on the team, there's a strong possibility they're going to help the other team members, or there's going to be a desire to exchange information to make sure everybody can be a superstar.
And when someone is a superstar, recognize them. You know, put it out on the company website, write it on the board in the lobby, do those kinds of things. Be specific in your recognition if someone does a great job. Another thought process is that your employer brand and employee engagement work hand in hand. That means that you should be a place that people want to work and be known as such. You know, because that's important. If you come to work with places that you're really proud of and they're involved in the United Way campaign and they're involved in raising money for the Make-A-Wish Foundation, those kinds of things, and you engage them in different fun kind of contests and things like that, that's a great place to work and people will feel engaged. Another thought process is having a buddy system for onboarding and getting your associates or your employees on board a little faster. The whole idea of a buddy, when someone first walks in the door, I think that's really, really important. Another thought, emphasize the why. Why are people coming to work? Carrie, you got some thoughts on the whole why?
Well,
is it important?
You know, I brought up Simon Sinek's book before, and the bottom line is people want to do great work. Give them the tools and recommendations and then the rewards for doing a great job.
Understanding why is very, very important. And really, our interview with Rich Armstrong's really going to drill that home. A line of sight. You're going to hear the words line of sight. You're going to hear the words a business people, and how people are personally involved in their company and the well-being of their company and therefore the well-being of their families. That's what you're going to hear from Rich Armstrong, which we'll be moving into in a second. And then take advantage of the social media, and you know, that's a great place for people to collaborate that work for your company, share things, just like we talked about earlier, Carrie. You know, have teams and share things. It's a good collaborative thing in terms of social media. And a point that's not on here, Carrie, that I wanted to make sure that we brought out is how important it is to select the right supervisors and managers. We've all heard the phrase that people leave managers, not the company. That is a very important thought process in terms of having an engaged employee workplace. It's so critically important.
We could go on and on and on about the selection of managers.
We really could. So we'll be coming right back with our special guest, Rich Armstrong. You're listening to The Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf.
Bringing the business classroom to you. It's The Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf. Presenting the thought leaders of today. It's the Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf.
Welcome back to the Business Builder Show. Our special guest today is Rich Armstrong. Rich, thanks for coming on the Business Builder Show today.
Well, thank you, Marty. Thanks for the invite.
Let me introduce Rich. Rich Armstrong is the president of The Great Game of Business Incorporated, and this is a division of employee-owned SRC Holdings Corporation. Rich co-wrote the update to The Great Game of Business 20th Anniversary Edition, Get in the Game, the interactive guide, which is fantastic. Rich has over 23 years of experience in improving business performance through the practice of open book management, business literacy, employee engagement, and employee ownership, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Rich, again, welcome to the Business Builder Show.
Thank you very much.
All right. You know, I did some research, and when I did, I went on to your website, The Great Game of Business, and I found a fascinating series, and it's called The Game of Business Intro Series. I thought that was a great way to really talk about what you do. So let's start right at the very beginning, and what's the intro? How do you intro this whole great game of business?
Well, great. The intro is basically an opportunity for people to really get a sense of what this is all about, because sometimes there are a lot of misconceptions about what open book management is, at least the way we define open book management in terms of the great game of business. So, and then also just the a little bit of a misconception about taking the idea of business and making it a game, and maybe making it sound a little trivial. Mm-hmm. And that is not at the intention at all when we're talking about the great game of business. We're talking about really trying to break it down in terms of a sense that a frontline employee or anybody in the company really would find it interesting and maybe understand the elements of running a business a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
And we've just found that the using the terminology and the analogy of a game has been very, very helpful in doing that over the years.
Yep.
So that's how we've introduced it.
In the intro, it talks about the great game of business as an operating system for your organization. I think that's an important thought process. Would you agree?
Yes. In fact, I think it's critical in this, because a lot of people look at these practices as individual events, you know, a bonus plan or an engagement program or recognition program. And really, for this to work really well with your employees, is they really got to see it as a system within your company. It's just the way you do business.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason we use that analogy is that it gets people, you know, the understanding that if you're going to teach your people about the business on an ongoing basis, it really needs to be a system within the organization that they feel like there's a constant, continuous learning process going on in the organization.
Mm. Yep. Great. And, well, let's use this as the way to where did this all start? And, again, this is going through your intro series. That's right on the Great Game of Business website, ggob.com. Give us the backstory on how this all started.
Sure, absolutely. I think, you know, what's a little bit different about us and our consulting and training organization is basically that it's come from a business you mentioned earlier, Marty, of SRC Holdings, which was Springfield Remanufacturing Corporation. We were a division of International Harvester back in the early 80s. When International fell into a lot of financial trouble, we were one of the small little organizations down in Springfield, Missouri, that they, was kind of up on the block to be sold. The management team decided that probably the best thing for everybody was to find a way to buy the business from International Harvester rather than closing the business. So 13 individuals pulled their money together, basically about $100,000 worth of equity, and found a bank to actually loan them $8.9 million.
And I've heard Jack Stack, who was one of the original founders, talk about, like, he couldn't believe that somebody gave him $8.9 million. Is that correct?
That's right. It was actually after 52 different financial institutions he visited. So
yeah.
It was a luck of the draw. There's not, you know, you could see the lack of financial literacy happening right before your eyes.
Right.
To have somebody loan you $8.9 million with $100,000 of equity.
Yes. It doesn't fit, right? It just didn't fit.
Right.
But the courage to do it and the commitment to do it. And so did you get off to a smooth start right at the very beginning?
You know, understanding that impact was really what was the basis of the Great Game of Business, is that as Jack was trying to find that money from banks and try to find a way to loan that money, they were asking him a lot of interesting questions, like, when do you plan to pay this money back? And what he was learning over the time was that there was a whole different scoreboard or scorecard that was being introduced to him that he was never exposed to under International Harvester, and that was a financial scorecard. And what he promised himself is that when we start this business, then I'm going to make sure that everyone in our organization understands how this business works financially. So from day one, we made sure that everybody in the company understood what we were under, you know, what challenges we had in front of us in terms of a 89-to-1 debt to equity ratio and what that really meant to the organization. And that if we made a $10,000 mistake, we could go under.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a real focused effort in making sure that when people left at the end of the day, they knew exactly where we stood financially and what we needed to accomplish the next day to make sure the business was going to be successful.
And it has been, correct? There's some value in that stock, correct?
Absolutely, absolutely. We've taken it from about 10 cents a share to today it's about $361 a share.
Mm.
So an individual that invested about $1,000 of that original $100,000 is basically sitting on about $3.6 million today.
When did you start the great game of business in terms of you now have the consulting and training? Because I still see that this is still an idea that's still not applied universally. So go back to when you started the great game of business and started to talk to other companies about this.
Yeah, we started the Great Game of Business consulting and training just a little over 23 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
We started it before the book actually came out because a lot of people were coming and wanting to visit our facilities here and get an opportunity to see it in action. And so we basically, in true entrepreneurial spirit, we opened up a little training organization and had about two people in here managing those tours.
Mm.
And over time, of course, people would ask, you know, hey, could you do a little training course for us? Could you do some consulting and coaching? So over time, we built an organization that was, had the resources to be able to go out and help other organizations do that. And we've had, a little over 5,000 companies, I think, visit SRC and Great Game of Business over the last 20 years.
We are going to get into details of what you do because it's fascinating to me. But I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but I think the core of it is, if I can state it in my own terms for clarity's sake, is that everyone in the organization understands their impact on the financials of the company. Was that okay?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's all about line of sight. Understanding what I do every day and how it impacts the overall performance of the business.
We're going to get into different things, myths and misconceptions, but I want to ask this question while I'm thinking about it. Have you found that this concept applies across all industries?
Yeah, absolutely. It's any business that measures their success based on the financials can find this very, very useful to them, right? And
that should be everybody.
That's the universal scorecard.
Yeah, that should be just about anybody. So we're going to be taking a short break. We are speaking with Rich Armstrong, and he is the president of the Great Game of Business, and we're going to be talking about business literacy and open book management and some myths and different things, and we're going to get real deep. So, make sure that you've got your pen and paper ready because we want to continue on our in-depth. And to get you ready, Rich, we're going to get right into, the myths and the misconceptions about open book management, and is there a difference between the Great Game of Business and open book management? So we're going to be taking a short break. We're with Rich Armstrong of the Great Game of Business. You're listening to the Business Builders Show. We'll be right back.
Bringing the business classroom to you. It's the Business Builders Show with Marty Wolf. Informing, educating, and encouraging. The Business Builders Show with Marty Wolf.
Welcome back to the Business Builders Show. Our special guest is Rich Armstrong, and he is the president of the Great Game of Business. I'm fascinated by this discussion, and I am so happy we can share this information with our audience. Rich, when we left off, we're talking about, I'm going to read something right here. It says, if you heard the term open book management, you might understand it to mean, in quotes, sharing financial information with employees. Although that is true, it is one small piece of a much larger operating system we call the Great Game of Business. So let's start right there, if you're okay, Rich. And so I have heard this thought process. It says, question is, do opening the books mean I have to share everything, including financial compensation? That's kind of a hot button.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's where people usually go is, you know, are we talking about complete disclosure of all information within the company? And it's absolutely not. It's really what we're trying to do is provide our people with the information that to help them make better decisions in the business. And it's usually information that the owner probably knows and understands, but doesn't think it would be helpful for the employees, but in fact, it would probably help them make a lot better decisions within the company.
Mm-hmm.
Financial, you know, the compensation side of the things, for instance, at SRC, we do not share any kind of detailed financial compensation with, through our open book management process. We group a lot of that information together, mm-hmm. meaning that we want to know and we want to share with our folks about what is our engineering total compensation cost compared
right.
to industry. That is good information. But the other information just doesn't seem, you know, individual compensation hasn't been relevant in terms of helping them make better decisions.
Hmm. Yes. Now, there are some people who might feel that sharing this financial information may actually cause more problems. Have you had experience in dealing with that?
You know, yes, that's you know, usually another common question that comes up, because it does raise a lot of questions from employees about how the business is performing. But I think what the people have to look at is they really have to understand that there's so much benefits in terms of having employees understand what's really going on in the organization and what those benefits will outweigh any drawbacks.
Yeah.
You got to think about your employees right now. You know, if you're away from the office and the decisions and actions they're taking right now are based off of what they believe is happening in the organization, if they had more information about how much a certain activity or a certain product really cost in the business and how the decision they're going to make regarding that particular product or service, what that decision really could do and impact the overall performance of the business,
mm-hmm.
those things are happening every single day, and people are probably making those decisions off of some poor information.
Yes, very important. Very important. Is the line a business of business people from your books? I like
yes.
that thought process. Is that where I heard it? And that's what you're trying to do, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And I'm glad you bring that up because, again, it goes back to kind of being pigeonholed with this idea this is all about financial
mm-hmm.
education, financial transparency. Really, the objective here is to be able to get your employees to think and act more like business people, you know, and have a business of business people within your company making the right decisions at the right times. And that may include things that are outside of just the financial
mm-hmm.
side of things, maybe strategically what you're trying to accomplish
mm-hmm.
in the business,
mm-hmm.
what things you really want them to be focused on in terms of their interaction with customers.
Mm-hmm.
All of this is part of the great game of business.
They're making decisions all the time. They might as well be educated ones, right?
Exactly.
They're making them. Yeah, they might as well be educated. Now, what has your experience been? Are employees interested? How do you get them interested? Are they, you know what I'm asking. Are they interested in hearing this stuff?
You know, it's very interesting. You know, there's probably a feeling by a lot of owners that employees don't want to be, you know, hampered with this kind of information or are not interested in understanding. But even studies will show you that people like to be in on things. They like to know what's
mm-hmm.
going on within the particular company. And what we've found is it's been a huge opportunity to engage people.
Yes.
You know, there's so many different ways to engage folks with recognition, with bonus plans, incentives, all these kind of things. But just try giving them some information that they're typically not, that they don't have access
right.
to. And it's amazing the kind of engagement that you get because people love to know what's going on around them. And when they do, they feel much more confident about themselves. They feel much more involved. And with that, you get so much more engagement from your employees.
Rich, I think in the challenging times, and we've always had challenging times, but in times of transition and everything else going on, I absolutely think what you are teaching and what could be in companies is absolutely a game changer for a whole lot of companies. What's the best way for people to connect with you and or your company? Just the website, is that the best way, Rich?
Yeah, website, or just reach out to us directly. Our number's right there on the website as well. At ggob.com or greatgame.com. Either one of them will work.
Excellent. It's a great site. And again, if you're a company that has any kind of interest in this, you can go there and you can go through this little series, and it is really awesome what they put you through, and it really primes the pump for do it on your own, or if you want to connect with these guys to help you. I love the intro series. I thought it was really, really great. So let's go back to, you know, sharing information with all your employees. There may be some business owners to say, well, do they even have the capacity? I mean, they're not you're a machinist. You're not necessarily an accountant. How do they understand this? What's your experience with that?
Yeah, it's absolutely the exact opposite. In fact, you know, when you start getting really deep in the organization, you find out a lot of these people are sitting on boards of their schools and doing a lot of really advanced type of management outside the business, and we never tap into it, and that's a shame. As long as they can have some education on this, it's amazing what they can, you know, comprehend, and most importantly, the information or the ideas that come from it. From their perspectives on what could be changed in the organization to better, better drive performance.
I have personally seen companies drive a great return on investment. We don't have time to talk about success stories. I wish we did. We only have about a minute left. What didn't we cover that you want to make sure that we do talk about in terms of the great game of business, Rich?
I think the biggest thing is that if there's still some uncertainty by, you know, the entrepreneurs on if this is really the way that they would like to run their business. What's really unique about this community is that this is a large community of open book management practitioners, and they can certainly reach out to us on the website, but they can also, on the website, they can reach out to other practitioners.
Yes.
So they can listen to me all day long, Marty, and certainly I'm going to be a purist, you know, growing up within the SRC organization, but they can talk to an entrepreneur that's just started this a year ago and what kind of challenges or what kind of successes they've had. I would really encourage them, if there's any questions, to do that, because that really gives them the inside track in terms of, is this right for me?
I would also encourage that. You can go to, or just Google, The Great Game of Business, and you'll be able to go to their websites. Rich Armstrong of The Great Game of Business, thank you so much for being on the Business Builders Show. We'll be right back.
Presenting the thought leaders of today,
it's the Business Builders Show with Marty Wolf.
Presenting the thought leaders of today,
it's the Business Builders Show with Marty Wolf.
Welcome back to the Business Builders Show. I'm Marty Wolf. Kerry Carney is with me, and Tom Jenkins is with me. And what a great interview from Rich Armstrong. I love the topic of the great game of business. I think it's a game changer for small businesses. And, boy, hopefully you pay close attention to that. Kerry, I think that let's fuel my thoughts on this even more, and what Rich talked to us about, because what businesses really care about is results.
Yes.
Right? That's what they want. We want results. An entrepreneur, a small business owner, you want results. So let's connect this to some real information. And so we have three case studies. The first one we want to talk about is a company called Mears Floral Products. And what they do is they're a wholesale distributor of flowers and greens to that industry. And their business challenge was that they had struggled during the recession. And also they had something else happen, that their leader, whose name was Dave Mears, who apparently was a very great leader involved with several organizations, he died. And so they kind of had a lot of setbacks that they needed to deal with. And the Let's see who is. What's his name? New owner? Help me with that. Mr. Mears, and his first name is Kelly, I think. Correct?
Oh, Kelly Parsons.
Kelly Parsons. Thank you for helping me with that. So he said, we try to do different things like total quality management and try to do other things that you may have heard about. They said he said he never really saw real ownership or real engagement from the associates on anything that they were doing. There wasn't buy-in, I guess. So they started the Great Game of Business in September of 2011. They started to get results kind of quickly, didn't they, Kerry?
Yeah, it says that Mr. Parsons got a hold of Jack Stack's book.
Mm-hmm.
And then that his mother, of all people, also made 100% commitment. Obviously, she was still the owner. And they just went headlong in.
Mm-hmm. Here's what it says. Everyone at Mears now sees the financials, and they have been taught how to read them, and they clearly know what it takes to win. This has been the best thing we have done to turn our business around. I'm going to keep using two phrases. Line of sight, which means you, no matter who you are in the organization, you see the connection between what you do and the financial health of the company. And the other phrase is a business of business people. That's a powerful thought process no matter what size company you are in, no matter what size. Really important in small businesses. So, and they talked about, and again, this is a floral products company, they talked about that they do mini games focused around Valentine's Day, because Valentine's Day, everything's going way fast and there was a lot of waste. So they, they really looked at, they call them games. All it is a way to have a fun way of saying, well, how can we improve our profitability, reduce our waste or whatever. So was there any results from Mears Floral Products? Well, let's point some of them out. Profitable improvement. They have turned their operations around, increasing its gross margin, by 6.5% over the past year. They created an expected profit of $50,000 for the fiscal year, which means the associates helped create a total profit before tax profit of some $181,000 in a single year.
That's real money.
That's heavy iron in a small business. That's big bucks. They also talked about that they cut its waste from 7% of sales to 5.2% by watching and tracking what it threw away, paying attention. They increased inventory turns from 1.44 to 1.48. Now, inventory turns in a business with inventory is critical to profitability.
Critical.
Super critical. So, a great success story in terms of someone using the Great Game of Business.
And where they track this, you know, people hear the words KPIs. They set up key performance indicators, track them painstakingly, and saw real dollars and shared that information with everyone across the company. So everybody knew where to look for those real dollars.
Some companies call them scorecards.
Scorecards.
And I think this next group is where they talked about that. And by the way, I picked a distributor to look at, a manufacturer to look at, and a construction company to look at. So our entire audience, there's a mix of people, right, Kerry?
And these case studies are all off of the Great Game of Business website.
Yeah, and, you know, some people may say that as well, you know, is that fair? Well, yes, it's good because this works. I don't care where it's coming from. This information works. Next company is Central States Manufacturing, and they now have 5 facilities. And what they saw was that, you know, in tough times, a lot of people were cutting back. So what they decided to do was, we're going to move forward. We're going to open even more spots. So they expanded geographically. And what they recognized was that they needed help. They needed all their employees. They needed their help to expand into the market. Now, this company, Kerry, was founded in 1988, and they always believed in open book management. But with this expansion, they knew they needed help. So Central States Manufacturing, did they have any successes? Manufacturing company, surging sales, it says. Shipping volume was up 19.5% in 2011. 19.5%. steady growth. The company's stock price has risen every year since 1992, where it has grown from $11.59.
Hold your seat.
To $230 a share. I actually hesitated, Kerry, because I said I knew that answer, but I wanted to make sure. So let me repeat that. From $11.59 a share to $230 a share. Their expansion is going great guns. And here's a point, another point regarding Central States Manufacturing that I think is really important. It says, its associates and salespeople price their products as they see fit because they understand the financial impact of that decision on overall sales and gross margin. Fasten your seatbelt again, Kerry. How many companies will let salespeople and their associates price things as they see fit?
Well, you left out one fact.
Okay, lay it on.
Central States is 100% employee-owned.
Ah.
So if they have that flexibility, they're doing that as owners.
Yes. Now, think of the power of that. They have line of sight. They are a business of business people. Another company, a construction company, and we have some discussion on how to say this name, but I'm going to call it a Gape Construction Company, and they are in the Midwest, I think, and they had 30 employees, but they had to reduce down to 15. And we're a little short on time, Kerry, but this is a construction company. I want to talk about that now. They reduced, but they grew, and they grew by employee engagement. They're now debt-free. Their profits are through the roof. And now they're really spending a lot of time contributing those net profits to charities. Great thing. Great place to work. That is a key thing of employee engagement. People like coming to work. They like what the company is doing. They understand the financials, and so it's important.
One key thread in all these companies, they eliminated unnecessary waste.
Big time. Big, important.
That was a very big key with all three of these companies' success.
And that comes from complete focus. Knowing what you're doing, understanding how what you do every day affects the profitability. And if you can, you should share in the pain when things aren't so good, and you should share in the gain. This is a game changer for small business. So thank you again for being part of our show, the Business Builders Show. We appreciate you taking time to be with us. Kerry and Tom, as always, thanks for your help and support in the studio. And a special thank you to Rich Armstrong of The Great Game of Business, our special guest. I strongly suggest you check out The Great Game of Business. And, oh, by the way, we feel pretty confident, comfortable talking about this also. If you'd like to talk to us about the open book management, we'd love to have you. Next week, our special guest is Christine Cashin, and she is one of the presenters at the Refresh Leadership Simulcast, which will be broadcast across the country on Wednesday, April 16th, and this is brought to you by Express Employment Professionals. So, Christine will be joining us next week. We do our best on the Business Builder Show, so you can do your best. Thanks for listening, and have a great week.
Bringing the business classroom to you, it's the Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf.